Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Now Spinning. Today, we have a very special show for you, so let's just get right into it. Our guest for today, we have...
David Hennigman.
I'm Hikaru.
And I'm Joe.
What's your organization?
KOSFC in Japan. So Keio University Shonan Fujisawa Campus.
Very awesome. Also today with me, I have...
Jacob Zakvik.
Leo Ackerman.
And I'm still Simon Medina. Let's just get right into it. Thank you all for being on here. It's really a great honor to have you guys. It's so awesome to know that there's another record club out there in the world. How did you guys first hear about us? I'm wondering.
I found you on Instagram, right? And maybe you liked something I posted or vice versa. And I think it just started with likes back and forth. But then I started listening to your podcast, and that's when I was impressed. And that's when I really felt compelled to reach out to you guys.
Very cool.
Yeah, we can thank Sarah Eubanks for that. I think for the running the social media and getting in contact with you guys, friend of the show, for real friend of the show. Got to make the disclaimer there.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I hear it, like knowing that there's people in like an entire different country, like across the ocean, listening to our podcast, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
So if I can ask about like how your club works. Do you guys have records and do you bring in records? That's mostly how we do stuff.
I honestly don't know the number we have. Is it like over 200?
Yeah, well, close. I actually just counted recently. We have about 287 or so. So we have. Okay.
So you have a club library then?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's very awesome.
And do you guys collect records yourself?
I do, yeah.
Awesome.
I have like over 100 now, I think.
Nice.
That's very cool. What artists are you mostly into, though? Like when you collect records, what are you looking for?
Yeah, what record artists specifically?
Yes.
Not just any artists you like, but like what artists do you look for to get on that vinyl?
Huh. Well, I mean, I buy kind of big purchases. I'll buy like 40 or 50 at a time, right? You know, I talk to students to kind of see what they want. Both Hikaru and Joe have been my student assistants in the past. I let every student assistant choose a record to put on the list of what we're going to buy.
Oh, cool.
Holes, I think we have in the collection. Okay, we need some of this, right? Mm-hmm. So then I try to read up on some new exciting stuff that's coming out. So I really try. I'm always thinking about balance, you know?
Right.
And try to get as many different genres as possible, hopefully from as many different countries as possible. Like I try to get a good variety of stuff, but also all like, you know, quality, mm-hmm. quality but, stuff that I know it'll be fun to listen to. So,
but, yeah. Hikaru and Joe, what are some records that you personally seek out?
I just go like straight for modern metal.
No.
Metalcore.
So what's a recent, metal album that you got?
I think it was one of the Counterparts albums. Can't really remember the name, but like I bought it from like a Canadian website.
Oh, okay. Nice. Joe, do you have any Yoni records?
Well, I'm not collecting records now.
Are there any records that you recommended Dave get?
Every semester, we can ask David to purchase record for us to put it in the record club collection. And I think last semester, I asked for Prince 1949, the album.
Record. 1999.
Okay, I'm terribly sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, so that's the last record I collected for the record club.
Cool.
And I would personally recommend that.
Yeah, that's a good pick. We love
it's
that
a classic.
Album.
Yeah. And Lynyrd Skynyrd, right, Joe? The one time you requested I buy Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah,
I was surprised by that, but yeah.
Mm.
That is a bit of a surprise, actually.
Mm. That is some classic Southern rock right
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
I'll be a devil's advocate, though, and say the best Southern rock band is 38 Special. So go check them out.
Not the Allman Brothers?
Is Allman Brothers Southern rock?
Absolutely
yeah.
Southern rock.
All right. You know what? I don't know. I think I might still pick 38 Special. But no, Allman Brothers are like maybe arguably better songwriters. But 38 Special's just got a sound to them that's like just so exciting. But that's my recommendation. Go listen to both of them.
The Lynyrd Skynyrd pick is really interesting. I think that's really sick. And also, 1999 is a classic. Excellent picks all around. I haven't heard the metal band that Hikaru is a fan of.
Counterparts.
And I remember when I picked that record just because the cover is so sick, right? Like, I thought the album cover just looked amazing. And I kind of took a chance on it. And it turned out to be one of Hikaru's favorite bands. And these two are going to the show, right? Soon. Wow. So that's, So sometimes you got to trust your instinct just looking at a record cover, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes me think of the first time my mother ever saw one of my Cannibal Corpse CDs. And if you know anything about that band, you're going to know that she kind of freaked out. A metal record is one where the album art can really go either way. It can be pretty tame or you can have no idea what's about to be on that record, you know?
Yeah.
And Joe, you gave us that one record. You said you know the members of the band. Right from China. That's really cool album. Well, what's the name of that?
Well, their name is L-U-R. I don't know how do you pronounce it correctly. Lure. But maybe Lure. Yeah.
Lure. Interesting.
I'm going to add that to the list.
Yeah.
L-U-R. L-U-R.
L-U-R.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Post-hardcore? Is that what it is?
Yeah, post-hardcore, I think.
Check that out.
That's just such a great genre name. There's so many genres that either end with core or start with post. And when you can get both in there, you know you've got somebody that knows their music.
Speaking of knowing music, are there any artists that you've been kind of getting into lately from the U.S. that you want to share with us?
I want to flip it around because I feel like American music is so prioritized when we, you know, have discussions about music. It's mostly in the English language. It's mostly from the United States or England. I want to know more about Japanese bands that you guys recommend for us.
There's a band called Sim. It's capital S, lowercase I, capital M. And I'm pretty sure it's short for Silence is Mine. Mm. I don't think they ever used that name, though. And they had, like, a pretty big hit for one of their songs that wasn't used in I think it was Attack on Titan, maybe? Mm, I don't know. Okay. But they have a couple albums from the early 2000s or mid-2000s that they really tried mishmashing reggae and punk.
Ooh,
and also some, like, yeah, they're like a reggae punk band, but they're also really screamo in some cases.
What's...
Like, they're really metalcore, too. But
that sounds sick.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I recommend their Pandora album. And they sing in English, so yeah. I don't really know if they sing in Japanese, honestly, but they're a Japanese band.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right up your alley, Jacob. That seems taking all the boxes there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a big reggae and like ska and Caribbean islands music. And so that one's very interesting. The way they can kind of fuse those. I'm trying to think of what's that American punk band that did like their first three albums were like half punk songs, half reggae
Bad
songs.
Bad Brains?
No. They so did that. Bad Brains is that, awesome. Go yeah. listen Andred. To Bad Brains. It's like Non or something. I can't remember what they're called. Oh, I feel so bad. Well, anyway, the point is I've heard stuff like that before, and it is right up my alley, so I'll definitely check that out. Love a little bit of genre fusion.
Oh, yeah, we love that. Joe, do you have any Japanese artists you want to share with us? Or?
Well, one of my favorite Japanese band is The Blue Heart. Yeah, they're a punk band. And they're just like Green Day of Japan. They're pretty famous.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're from the late 80s, early 90s. The same vibe of Green Day, raw and simple. Yeah.
I like that. I'm looking into this right now. That seems very interesting.
Yeah, cool.
So that band, the Linda Lindas, took their name from the Blue Heart song, Linda
really?
Linda.
Yes.
Oh. It's a very, iconic song.
Yeah, I'm reading up on the Blue Hearts right now. I'm surprised that we haven't really heard of this.
Yeah, no.
It seems pretty prolific.
It's the kind of band, the first time you hear them, you could enjoy it, yeah.
Okay.
That's like the great thing about punk rock, though, is that it is fundamentally so accessible. to so many artists. It can be fast, it can be slow, but it's always like just simple enough while still having a lot going on that like you don't need to know everything about music to enjoy a Ramones song. Like it's pretty clear what's going on, and it's just usually fun and a good time. And yeah. When it isn't fun and a good time, it's, you know, at least very exciting. You know what I mean? We've talked before about like political messages and stuff in punk rock and how like the genre really like lends itself well to that sort of thing. It's one of my all-time favorites, punk rock.
Also, I was going to mention, you said the Ramones, how that was like easy to understand across countries. I think that makes sense because even if like you fully understand English, it's very... It's hard to understand what they're even saying in those songs anyway. So,
well, and those lyrics are meaningless.
Yeah, exactly.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some songs with, you know, very in depth and even emotionally resonant kind of like stories going on in them. But like when your song's only 2 minutes long, it's not making its way in.
Yeah.
But cool. Any other recommendations? You know, not just for us. You know, all our listeners.
I was thinking of this two piece from Osaka, these two women, and it's called Hyper Girl or Gal, right? Mm. G-A-L, right? Mm. Hyper Gal. Mm. And yeah, it's just a two piece. So it has that kind of, you know, it's like a White Stripes setup, but they seem to be most influenced by krautrock. So it's like very, it becomes like very like repetitive and, grinding and hypnotic. Yeah, and I think it's, yeah, they have a kind of interesting sound. So I just bought one of their records for our club recently. Hmm. I was surprised it existed on vinyl. Yeah, because a lot of Japanese bands do not release their stuff on vinyl, right? It's just not that popular yet.
Right. So, well, and that's, even in the U.S., it seems to me like this vinyl craze, you know, the like hipster craze of maybe like 10 and maybe even started like 15 years ago, it was still underground. You know what I mean? Like vinyl was coming back, but we've kind of entered a moment now in American culture where like vinyl is properly cool. Like people are really into it. It was only like 2 years ago mm-hmm. that vinyl records outsold CDs for the first time since like the 90s or the 80s or whenever. I can't remember. It was a long time ago now, but yeah, it's one of those things that is very part of like our material culture, and that doesn't always translate well to other countries, you know, because American music gets a lot of focus and gets a lot of listeners worldwide, but like ordering a record can be very expensive and kind of difficult for a lot of places. And that's a lot of our records that are made now are made in the US. A lot of them are made in Germany. I've noticed a lot of mine are made in Germany, and some of them do in fact come from places like Japan, but it's very cool how much it's really taken off over here. But, kind of a shame when, your favorite band, you're not finding that on vinyl, you know?
Mentioning bands not putting stuff out on vinyl, you said earlier, David, that you were a Ween fan a little bit, and that was a problem I've had with that band, is that they are very stingy with when they re-release stuff. So I understand the pain of that.
Check Ween off your bingo card. Yeah, it made it into the episode.
I had to put that in there somewhere. I'm sorry.
So the name of the punk band you recommended, what are they called again?
Hyper Girl.
Hyper Girl.
G-A-L.
Hyper Gal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
From what I'm reading on them, they seem to be sort of in the same lane as Melt Banana, if you're familiar with them. Melt Banana and Otoboke Beaver.
Yeah. Punky and experimental. But yeah, I mean, I find elements of krautrock in there too. So yeah, okay. I think they're an interesting mixture of things.
I have not really heard much krautrock in modern music, honestly. Whenever I do hear like a band is krautrock or they incorporate elements of it, I get a little bit giddy because like I don't hear it very often in Western rock even, and to hear it come from like Japan in this like cool experimental group sounds really interesting.
Yeah, well, I think it's just me saying that. I haven't seen them say that about themselves, right? But when I listen to it, I feel that influence. Last year, I saw the OCs, you know, from California, yes. John Dwyer, the OCs. You know, even though they're American, they're often referred to as having a krautrock sound, right? Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing concert. I don't know. Did you guys listen to them at all?
Oh, yeah. I love that OC's record. I'm forgetting the name of it, but it has like strawberries and like dog mouths on it or something like that.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I love that record to death. Big inspiration for King Gizzard once again. Strike it off the bingo. Yeah. OCs are great. What are your favorite like OCs records?
We have two in our collection. One is Interceptor something or other. It's got like a silver skull with all these wires coming on. I think it's fairly recent.
Mm. Okay.
And we have another one that's called like Org or something. And it just has some weird.
Org. Yes.
Org. Yeah. Yeah. So they have so many records. It's. I mean, they're kind of like King Giz in that way that they're just super prolific, right? And they switch up genres from album to album at certain points in their career too.
Yeah, I'm looking at their list of albums here on like Wikipedia, and it's they release albums under like different variations of the same name. Like there's one that's like yeah. OCS, and then the OCs, and then like the OCs. Like there's a space in there. It's just they change it every couple of years. It's very interesting to me. I've never seen a band do that before.
He does that just to like mess with the with music critics, right? Like
I respect that a lot.
If I can kind of shift gears or go back to something we were talking about again, I have a question for Hikaru. You mentioned buying records online. Have you ever been to a record store? A big thing in the U.S. is stores that just sell records, and I'm curious: is that a thing where you're from at all? Have you ever been to one of those?
There's not a lot of record stores where I live here in Japan, but I have been to Amoeba Records in San Francisco whenever I go there. Mm. Yeah, record stores are sort of dying down here in Japan. There's like a big one in Shibuya, I know. But yeah, the ones local here are just gone.
So do they have music stores at all? Like they're not selling CDs anything anymore, really?
I'm sure we do have music stores in general, but they tend to be more closer to Tokyo.
Naturally. If I can kind of expand on this, where do you get your records? Just pretty much online?
Yeah, pretty much online.
Cool. So if I can ask too, not really the same thing, but another part of it, where do you guys find that you discover the most music? Like a big thing for me is listening to the radio. But I was just curious if you have a different sort of perspective on where we can find music or where you find music where you guys are from.
I'll let you guys answer.
I usually use Spotify for that.
Nice.
And I just connect it to my car via Bluetooth. That's so cool. Whatever that comes on that, I have a bunch of playlists, but whatever Spotify recommends. And sometimes, yeah, Dave like buys records that sound awesome. Mm-hmm. So I just get into those bands.
Are there any like online communities that you find any discussion? I know like metal is one where you can find ton of groups on places like Reddit and Facebook and things of people that will talk about every genre of metal. And I'm curious, do you find any through places like that?
Well, Reddit is sort of hard to follow, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Understand.
Looking through comments gets tedious.
Yeah. Metal fans can really get at each other's throats really quick.
We don't recommend being a metalhead on Reddit.com, but we were just, you know, curious.
Yeah, just the internet in general was more what we meant, but yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Joe? Where do you find new music? Where do you discover music?
Well, honestly, most of the music I discover these days comes from algorithm recommendations, like YouTube. Yeah. So it's I think pretty the same to Hikaru. Listen to one tone, and the next few in the autoplay queue are often they're the same vibe. Mm-hmm.
I find quite a lot through YouTube music in very much that same way, where I never have autoplay on. As soon as my thing ends, it's over and I gotta select the next thing. But I always kind of look through those recommendations at the bottom, and I've found some pretty good stuff that way. It's very easy to find things wrong with algorithms and things that work that way, but it's also a great way to connect you to new things and connect you to new people too. You know what I mean? In that kind of way.
Yeah. I mean, like, just bringing it full circle here. That's how we, you know, our clubs met each other, was over, you know, over the Instagram algorithm. So, you know, it's interesting how that brings people together.
Yeah. We'd have never known.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause I feel like I want to start saying that to students. So a girl in the indie rock class last week was saying she likes the Smiths, right? And I was just kind of curious as to how she knew the Smiths, because I feel like students are bringing up the Smiths to me a lot recently. So I'm like, how do you know the Smiths? And she seemed like kind of embarrassed to say that it was, you know, a Spotify algorithm. But then I want to say, but you took the time to listen to it and you appreciated it. So, I mean, it's nothing to be, you know, embarrassed about. Like, I mean, and it's still the fact that when you heard something good, you appreciated it. That's the point, right?
Yeah.
The algorithm wouldn't recommend it if other people weren't listening to it too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're just finding some junk. You know what I mean? Though there's some fun in finding an artist that nobody listens to, you know, that can be fun
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the algorithm, you know, will recommend like 100 things, right? And if you pick the one that you connect with, I mean, you should celebrate it.
Things we never really would have thought about listening to, or people we never really would have thought of talking to before, just through random chance on the internet. That's very interesting.
I think the Smiths is a particularly interesting one because it has such a generic sounding name for a band. It's not necessarily obvious for somebody to click on when it's recommended to them, but it's still one that is very unique and is hugely popular in certain circles. So it's definitely going to get brought up.
I do think the algorithm, for as much as it can bring people together with these more obscure artists, it has just as much power to smother others.
Right.
Sure.
So who are some artists that, like, you didn't find through an algorithm that you had to kind of like search out for?
Yeah, do you have any underground kind of groups that nobody's heard of?
Honestly, underground is like pretty hard to define because mostly everything you see on Spotify is promoted one way or another. But I guess I can talk about one Japanese artist. They're not really metal. They're more loud rock, arena rock, I guess. There's a band called Pay Money to My Pain. They're not active now because their vocalist died some time ago. But they're pretty monumental in the Japanese rock scene, I'd say. They pretty much paved the way for J rock you hear in Japan, at least. That's influenced by Western bands.
Very interesting. There's a lot of artists I know that are really big in Japan that are like high, super influential over there. Like every artist over there basically knows about them. But then you come to America and they're basically just nobody's heard of them. Like you said earlier with the Blue Hearts, like you said, they're a very, you know, influential, famous band in Japan. And then we're over here. It's the first time any of us have heard of it. Very interesting. You know, what travels overseas and what makes it, you know, what stays in Japan. I think, again, with the algorithm, I personally have heard like a couple of Japanese artists that through that I really wouldn't have heard of otherwise. Nothing metal. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff I've heard over YouTube, at least, is like jazz fusion related stuff. But it's still very interesting to see the kind of stuff that, you know, slips through and comes to America and kind of blows up here now.
I get recommended a lot of Japanese punk bands. Water Maze, the Doo-Doo-Doos, just the ones that immediately came to mind.
I found this band called Midori through a YouTube algorithm. They're sort of like a jazz punk act.
That sounds familiar. I feel like I've heard that name before. I think you mentioned them actually at some point.
Also, this newer artist named like Haru Nemuri. She collaborated.
Oh, she graduated from our university.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that was before my time, but yeah.
It was a small world. Wow.
Actually, not our campus. I think a different campus, but yeah, she's a KO graduate.
Wow. That is awesome.
Yeah. I tried to email her to, you know, like join us as a guest speaker, and yeah, no answer.
Got too big.
Hearing that she's a graduate of your school, that's
wow.
Mm. See, that's a good example, right? She seems to be very celebrated overseas. In Japan, like, she doesn't perform a lot here. And even when she does, she'll be like opening for an idol singer or something, like really not a very prestigious slot. So yeah, the gap is interesting.
I guess it does go both ways, that there's some artists who are like, you know, from Japan who will blow up overseas, aren't known here. And then I know there's a lot of artists that are like American or British that will be super popular in Japan. And then you come to America and they're basically like a one hit wonder, or they're like a no name group.
It's funny too, when, you know, like when Green Day came here recently and they requested Otoboke Beaver open for them. And I think they also opened for Jack White, right? Like recently. But, you know, when those guys aren't in town, they're just playing normal, regular gigs like any other band, you know? So it's interesting.
That does bring up something interesting that I've been thinking of. So I'm not sure if we got this on record, but Joe was actually part of a Slipknot cover band, if I'm not mistaken. Knowing that the music industry in Japan, from what you've sort of laid out, is very focused on idols and pop music and whatnot. What is the culture and optics of a Slipknot cover band in Japan like? Because I imagine with the culture of Japan and the music culture of Japan, having a band like Slipknot be, you know, your artist of choice is a bit difficult to try and sell or try to get people in your lane with. So what was it like, you know, covering Slipknot in a band in Japan?
Well, I'll say maybe it's not that different, because the most of audience that come to see my show, they are my friends. They tend to have like similar taste of music as me. So, but if you like real kind of a cover band of Slipknot, you play like in a live house and you charge people charge for ticket, that thing will be different, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you guys wear masks?
Yeah, I wear a mask.
Oh, that's awesome.
The rest of the band,
do you have the mask with you?
Yeah, I think I have the mask with me.
Oh my goodness.
Do you guys need to?
I mean, it,
do you want to have a look at it?
The listeners won't be able to see it, but I think we want to see that.
If you have it handy. Yeah. And Joe, you had like your neck all painted or something too, right? Like your, right?
Ah, yes.
For your performance.
Yes.
Well, it's Slipknot.
Yeah.
Slipknot in their live shows and in their music videos and in everything are such a performance band. You can enjoy just listening to them as they are, but a big part of their appeal is the image and is the vibe they give their listeners. And it can be inspiring to people. You know, it inspired Joe to start a cover band. And I can't tell you how many people I used to see back in the day wearing Slipknot t-shirts with just so much pride to know that, like, hey, I know this is weird. I know this is something my parents would never listen to. It's a way to use image to really help people establish an identity through listening to your music. And I think that's really cool. And I love that you still wore the mask to do a cover. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And I did about the same thing on the stage, you know, just to jump around and scaring people.
Yeah. Oh, man, that, especially the lead singer, he used to do that where he would just jump up and down. I was like, you must be so tired by the end of that.
Yeah, super tired.
One last thing about the Slipknot thing. Like, how did that come about? What inspired you to cover, like, Slipknot?
And where did you find Slipknot?
Yes, that too.
Oh, well, I knew about this band from a pretty long time ago. Before the high school, after I entered the university, I joined the rock club. Basically, there are a lot of people out there, and they're just a forming band and play in a live house. And, well, since most of the people there, they're playing like J-pop or J-rock. Well, a few of us who are into heavier music, so we gather together and we say, how about we doing a heavier stuff? How about we doing something like a Slipknot? And it's pretty surprising that the four or five of us, we are all pretty into Slipknot before entering the university. So we form a cover band of a Slipknot and we start playing, rehearsaling.
That's really sick.
That is awesome. something like that at LCC, right? Like the Rock Band thing. That's not like the same format, but it's like a similar kind of thing, right?
Yeah. At LCC, there is a Rock Band that class that you can join where you do something kind of similar, where people mostly bring in sort of like pop rock and stuff like that. But occasionally a heavier band will slip into the mix, like Rage Against the Machine.
That's very cool. And then I kind of want to segue through that. Like, I know you have the Rock Band here and then the Rock Club there. There's a couple of things about our club, I think, and your club, that we do a lot of things similarly, but there's also a lot of things that are kind of, you know, we approach it from a different angle, like the way we run it and the way we have our meetings. Because I know we have structured, like, bi-weekly meetings, but you guys are kind of like a lot more of a, like a freer structure than that. Like, how does that work?
Hikaru, you want to explain the concept?
I mean, you're the pro here, but we have two dates, Wednesday and Friday. I usually go to the Friday one because I don't have classes on Wednesday, and it's kind of tedious to head to campus just for the record club. I used to do that, but now I don't. It's usually two periods, right? Like 3 hours.
Hours. So it's all afternoon. It's from like 1 to 4:15, but we usually go to 5.
Nice.
1 to 5.
Already way longer meetings off the bat.
Yeah, we only get an hour and a half usually, and that's in the evening. So like 5:30 to 7 is when we usually have ours.
But yours kind of, it seems like there's like a purpose, like you come together and everybody like wants to play a certain song, where ours is just kind of like an open door. You know, there's the bunch of records, the door's open, people come and hang out and put stuff on.
And we still have that vibe too, to a certain extent, or for the most part, all of our meetings are themed. Mm-hmm. But at every meeting, there's a ton of songs that get played that have nothing to do with the theme.
And that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, and honestly is sometimes necessary. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, we have a theme where like, oh, well, everything's going to sound the same a little bit. You know, like we just did a meeting that was all live records.
Yeah.
And we stuck to it pretty close for the most part.
Yeah.
But you end up getting a very specific feeling from those kind of things. And it's so exciting to have a club where people can show up and do whatever they want. And it's important that that's part of it, because otherwise you're not going to like meet new people. You know what I mean? You can show up at a club function, but if you don't have a thing to, you know, help you stand out and show the people around you like, hey, this is the thing I'm into. If you're into it, you should come talk to me. And I think that, you know, your format is really great for that sort of thing, where if people are just going through the library and picking out what they like and what they want to hear right then, you're going to end up with people that maybe have never even met that all of a sudden find a thing that they're both into. Okay, so I do like that we have that happen sometimes. And we do have a lot of fun with the themes, too. But it does sound like that you guys have a very fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think a great similarity is that between our two clubs is that both are very welcoming. Like you guys always say, like when I listen to the podcast, but you know, anyone can attend the meetings, and you know, you don't have to have your own records. You don't have to be like a music snob. I also promote that idea too. I don't want people to feel like there's some barrier to entry. Both our clubs really promote that, and I think that's good.
Yeah, we try our best to be a very non-judgmental environment. I think we do a pretty good job at that.
Oh yeah,
I think
inclusive.
Yes,
of people of all kinds, you know, and I think that really has been a huge benefit to our club. You know, I remember there was a running joke in like the first couple years of our club that it was a second unofficial LGBTQ plus club, just because we were so welcoming of those kinds of people. And that really like personally made me feel very comfortable at the club, and made me feel very comfortable like bringing in certain kinds of music. And that really like reinforced just how welcoming the club was, in a way that like you can show up and be yourself, and that can be really hard for students, you know, especially fall freshmen showing up that just coming from high school where everybody's known them for 12 years. You go to college and to see that, like, oh, this is a place where I can be different and I can learn about myself. And that's, you know, a part of a great thing of a record club is you can learn about yourself through music.
Yeah.
And being so welcoming is so important and is so valuable. You know, it's a huge part of why I think our club succeeded and why so many people, it's meant a lot to them.
When did your club start?
Oh, that was, hang on, let me, 2021 was our first meeting. I think it was right at the, I'm sorry, if you, can you see the...
For listeners at home, what he's doing is he's looking at our logo, which has the words established 2021.
I'm sorry, I had to check just to be sure. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was 22 or 21, but it's We had one meeting that year. Like it was like the end of the year.
It was something like that. But we were coming out of the pandemic, and Steve, the president of LCC, and
friend of the show,
the sponsor of the club. was like, okay, if we're going to have people meeting again, let's give them a reason to meet. That isn't just class. You know what I mean? Like, classes are great, but they could get pretty boring, and it's not always the great way to meet people. And I think it was a great idea, and it really worked out.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's really the same time as I started this club, because, the end of 2021, that's probably when I would have been buying some records and at least thinking about starting it up. And I started it up. Our school year begins in the spring, right? So I started it up spring semester of 2022. It's almost like Steve and I had the same idea at the same time coming out of COVID. So
that's very awesome. Music, you know, brings people together, right? Like that's kind of what you were talking about earlier, Jacob, with like the inclusion thing. You know, that's how people like to express themselves through it. Like, you know, it's like the kind of music you listen to. That's kind of like, you know, it's an aspect of who you are. So you come to the club and you show everybody else what it is. Sometimes it can take a little bit of vulnerability to play something that you're like, I don't know, this is very personal to me. I don't know if people are going to like it or not. So I think that's really cool that we give people a platform for that kind of.
I think that's a fun part of our club. And I'm curious if this happens at your club. One thing that we do a lot of is people bring in weird and unusual things to show it off. And they recommend each other weird and unusual things to show off. And I'm wondering, does that happen in your club? Do people say, oh, go buy this record because it's just out there and nobody's ready for it?
I try to do that sometimes, but... Also, there's a student, Rick. He'll try to pick purposely kind of weird, quirky things out of bargain bins he finds somewhere in Tokyo. Yeah,
love that. We love doing that there too.
Yeah, like he has it's like 45 of the moon landing. So it's like I think it has a Japanese explanation, and then it goes into the actual audio of the moon landing, right? So it's that's pretty random.
My roommate actually owns the American version of that, and I thought that's very awesome.
Yeah. Those must have sold well that year, I guess.
Probably, they're everywhere.
It was a big deal, man. It was cool. It's funny. I've brought in records before that have nothing to do with music. I've got one from It Sounds from like the 1968 Indianapolis 500 or something like that.
Oh, I love those.
And it's funny to think about, like, oh, this was just the audio format back then. Like it has nothing to do with music, like, or it doesn't have to have anything to do with music. And it's like, it's funny to think about the fact that, you know, we stream audio now, but like in theory, our podcast could be on a vinyl record, and like it would have no reason to ever be, but like, boy, would that be cool, you know?
Write that down. Well, that's merch right there. We'll make a record and sell it. I was gonna say, also speaking of like the non-music things, my greatest regret in like record purchasing is that I went to a thrift store one time and I saw a record that was like called How to Teach Your Bird to Speak, and I passed on it, and that is a tragedy because that would have been an incredible thing to have. But at least I got one that's like how to play bongos, so I have that. Ooh. And if I ever want to learn to play the bongos, I can listen to that 45 and it'll teach me.
Can I ask Joe and Hikaru if they want to ask you guys like questions about how your club functions?
Ooh,
that's a good idea.
Or just questions about music, whatever you guys got, man.
Question time.
You're really putting us on the spot there, Dave.
That's the point.
We're putting you on the spot, and questions? We're recording it. So no pressure.
Oh, God.
Well, while she's thinking, I'll have kind of a softball question, because I'm interested that you guys eat pizza all the time, right? Do you always, at every meeting, you get pizza? Steve provides the pizza, right? The president of the college. And do you always get the same pizza and sent from the same place, or do you mix it up? And is it a mom and pop shop, or is it a chain? Like, what kind of pizza?
I don't think I've ever gotten. What's it called?
So it's a place called Happy's Pizza.
Friend of the show.
Yes,
they are literally across the street.
Yeah,
yeah. They're across the street. They're as close as possible, so he can bring it in, and it's still hot, still fresh, and enjoyable. The pizza tends to stay the same. I like to see it as the music is changing so much. We need to have one constant here, and that constant is going to be Happy's Cheese Pizza.
We owe them the existence of our club. I think they've done more work for us than any person here has. But
I mean, we owe them some royalties, honestly. We're using their pizza in our imagery.
Well, yeah.
Friend of the show, right? Friend of the show.
I think that was... it's funny in that the way the pizza's never changed, except I can remember one moment when a vegetarian member of our club complained that all the cheese pizza had been eaten. There was only pepperoni left. So Steve started buying two cheese pizzas.
Thank you, Steve.
Very good choice in the long run, I think.
Sometimes people bring in like baked goods and stuff too. Like, it's not just pizza. Sometimes there's like a birthday cake one time.
Oh yeah.
It's always a fun little time.
We love having treats. That's the bottom line.
So we get them in. We show them the pizza, and they stay for the music.
That's actually kind of true.
Right?
We've had people walk in before, pretty much clearly just there to get some free dinner,
and they come back.
Sticking around.
They come back.
And they've come back. But yeah, it's funny how often, maybe almost like every other meeting, there's somebody that walks in that's just like heard music from coming down the hall, and they said, "Hey, what's going on?" You know what I mean?
Free pizza would be nice.
How did if I can force you guys to talk? How did you guys discover your club?
I think Dave actually promoted it in one of his classes. You do that a lot, right, Dave?
Yeah.
And yeah, I was honestly surprised like no one else showed up. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like a popular thing at that time, but people just didn't show up. And it was just me and Dave. And at TA, and I was just eating lunch there, honestly.
Yeah, and I probably would have stopped doing it if it wasn't for, like, I thought, like, okay, Hikaru's going to come every week, so, like, I got to show up. And
I just kept showing up.
Yeah. And it was, like, really little by little, you know, and I kept promoting it in class. And I think, like, certain students just started to feel sorry for me. Like, okay, no one showed up to this guy's thing. And so I think they started to come out of pity, right? But then they started to bring friends. And, like, some people took to it. It took a while. It took a number of weeks before we had, like, a regular group of people showing up. Yeah.
Yeah, ours felt very fast. It was only, like, two or three students for the first few. And then we moved to a different room, and all of a sudden we had 15 people showing up.
Yeah, it might have been just because the room we started out in was, like, unsufferably hot in there.
Oh, yeah, that place was terrible.
Yeah, I remember that because my first time I went there, that was, like, the end of spring of 2022, I think, and it was a very nice group of people, but it was hot in there. Mm. Hot.
Yeah, and the location matters.
A little bit.
Yeah.
When you're playing physical media, the physical space also matters. You know?
Who would have thought?
Mm, yeah. And then, Joe, how did you get roped into it?
I think I was brought by Hiyori.
Okay.
Yeah, firstly. And then I met Hikaru there, and we became friends through music. Yeah, that's a pretty good example for how Record Club connecting people.
It's very cool.
It's pretty good. For reference, Simon, Leo, and I, none of us knew each other before the Record Club. Mm.
Now we are making a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a place to make friends, I mean, it definitely works. There are many concrete examples of that.
Yeah, I mean, like the Vinyl Club, like firstly, it's just like a place to meet cool people, make friends. Secondly, a place to listen to cool music, I think, personally. That's the way how I see it, at least. It's first and foremost just a way to, you know, get out of your comfort zone, meet some people, you know, meet new people, that kind of thing. You know, that's something that's hard for a lot of people. So it's good to give, you know, like a nice space, non-judgmental space for that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I kind of think, you know, during your university years or college years, I mean, in a way, the clock is ticking. You only have so much time to really make friendships. Sometimes I feel like, you know, there needs to be a bit of urgency to it. Like, no, we're getting together this day to do this. And blah, blah, blah. Like, you kind of have to push people to talk to each other. Sometimes just meeting one or two people you really connect with could totally change your experience. So, I mean, I try to instill a bit of urgency into it. You know, meet people, interact, you know.
Yeah. So we're gonna transition that into saying, come to our meetings.
Oh, definitely. Please, yeah. I'm afraid we're just about out of time today, but thank you so much for coming on today. It's really an honor to have you guys on. We'd love to have you back sometime. Talk about some more music. It was a really great discussion today, I think.
Yeah, we're going to listen to all your recommendations.
Definitely. That's right when I get home. But if you, the listener, if you're interested in coming to any of our meetings, checking it out, listening to music with us, you can check out our website, which is going to be linked along with the show. You know, like we said just a second ago, it's a very great group of people, very friendly, great place to meet friends, great place to listen to music you wouldn't normally listen to. There's pizza also, don't forget the pizza. But I think that does about wrap it up for today. Thank you all for being on, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love, love you.
Love ya.
Bye-bye. Thank you.